You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Just on the election process, if you're just following it, just reported recently, Wisconsin voting.
Can't wait.
Is completed, and they have declared that Wisconsin has gone to Biden. So the numbers now, I mean, this is so close. Right now, as you're trying to get to 270 electoral votes, you are 224 for Biden, 213 for Trump, and there's still many, you know, still some huge states available. Nevada, for instance.
What's the odds?
Well, the odds have swung. Vegas has been all over the map with this since last night. It's incredible.
It's really coming down to Vegas, too.
You know what? That's a great point. I was just going to mention that. Nevada right now is still fairly up for grabs. You're talking about an 8,000 difference in vote count. 67% reporting so far, according to the AP, and Biden with the slimmest of margins ahead just by 8,000 votes. Now, there's still a lot of votes to be counted there, obviously, at only 67%. So that's still very much up for grabs. Georgia's the one that everybody's watching because
you're seeing
Atlanta, you're seeing Savannah, you're seeing Augusta. It's always the bigger cities where you're going to see more of the blue. Everywhere else is red. Trump is leading, but that lead is slim. I mean, it's 100,000 votes at max. Now again,
and
this is at 94%, so it's so close. But this is a huge one. It's 16 electoral votes.
That's close. You know what I mean? And you think about it. If they win Georgia, it's going to be basically because of Atlanta and Savannah, which usually leans, you know, Democratic. But you know, I wonder if it does go to the Democrats. Does that mean that Sweet Lou comes back and it's lemon wing peppers for everybody?
I have had barbecue wings, obviously, in my mouth.
It'd be because of Atlanta.
Blue wings only? I mean, I don't know, but this is a huge state right now. I mean, this one's in play.
The crazy thing is the world is
94%.
Watching,
man. No,
just
I know.
Think, just think.
Let me just get a couple more in here. So Michigan's at 96%. This is your home state. Is it 96%? That's another 16 up for grabs. And Biden slim. I mean, it's 30,000 votes.
Well, Trump
He's
won
got
it
a
by
30,000 vote lead. That's
16.
It.
Trump won it by like 10,500 votes last time.
Right. So this again, they are not declaring this one. They're still up for grabs. They're still counting. And then last but not least, Pennsylvania, which everybody felt like would be a major one. Pennsylvania might. We might not know about Pennsylvania until tomorrow. Like this might. This,
no, this
is
Friday.
Friday. Yes, you're right. And this one, Trump is. It looked like he was comfortably ahead. It's still a fairly sizable lead here, but they're only reporting 64% counted, as they only could start counting a lot of the absentee mail-in stuff yesterday. So as a result, you still aren't sure with, you know, basically 36% of the votes still to be counted, but still Trump looks like it's fairly comfortable lead right now, but that could change dramatically.
Have you ever went to the strip club and then like you go to the strip club and you like get a bunch of wands out?
Phrasing?
Only when I needed a drink. I just needed
that's
water.
Funny.
That's it.
But then what happens is like you don't spend all your wands sometimes, and then you got wands in your pocket. Then you go out and you try and pay for stuff with ones. And sometimes you be counting a bunch of them. And you always forget what number you want. I can only imagine that the people counting these ballots are counting by ones.
Why don't we have
how many times you like
count?
They do.
Why do we have
they
to
do.
Count it by hand?
They do, though. They do have those as well. You know what I mean? So it's like, listen, I've like supposed to put out like $57 worth of ones, and you can't. And they stick together, and you forget what number you're on. Somebody talking to you.
Crazy.
Damn it! Yeah. Sometimes
you always have your friend as you're counting them out. Your friend as you go like you're up to like 19, 20,
hey,
21,
man,
22.
He goes, pull up,
30, 50, 80. Like,
or like, hey man, can you pull it together? Damn it, man! I was counting. What number was I on?
I'll tell you what.
So I take my ones and I put them one way, then I take the 10 and I put the other way. So I have to count it that way. So I flip-flop the 10s and put them together. But I remember going to strip club during the All-Star game, and I had so many ones. But what happened is, like, the strip club ran out of money, right? So, like, the strippers had to pick up the money and then go on their back and then give guys new change, right? Because it was like, man, you can almost swim like Scrooge McDuck on the floor. You couldn't
see
the floor. So what happened was, like, when I got my change back, I thought I had a bunch of money, but the ones had taken on water from the perspiration from the strippers. So it was like inflated, swole ones, like it was like swampy ones, man.
Well, I mean, that's... kind of
it's like 51 was
so
the biggest, like $500. It's like $500.
Right? That's not a thing anymore.
It was crazy, man. Greatest night of my life, man. You had like this is how the conversation went. It was like the battle. Like this is so like you had like cash money on one side, you had like Swisher House on one side. So you hear something like, I need 100,000 ones. You're like, whoa, what? Then some of y'all, I need 200,000 ones. Like it was the most craziest thing I've ever been a part of. Greatest night of my life, man. I should have kept those ones, but they probably would have dehydrated.
You better wrap it up.
All right, never mind. Go ahead.
I just want you to keep going with these stories. This is fantastic.
It was in Houston, Harlem Nights, man. Greatest strip club in the world, man.
About dollar bills that are sweaty and swelling.
Yeah. A lot has been made about James Harden.
I can relate.
And the fact that they retired his jersey at the strip club.
Yes.
I should be honorable mention. I should have been on the ballot. You know how many book scholarships I paid for my contributions to strip clubs? I should at least be like something, man.
When you use butt, you set me up for the butt.
Oh, yeah.
So do you want to hear about a player that's available, that could be available for a trade, that is a point guard that you would think the Knicks should at least kick the tires on this one? And it's not a superstar. Russell Westbrook very much could still be on the move. We don't know. It doesn't sound like they want to blow that team up, but you never know. And then, of course, the Chris Paul stuff is something to keep an eye on as well. But there's another name that emerged that kind of has me like, oh, really? That name would be Drew Holiday. Does that interest you at all? New Orleans reports are New Orleans looking to make a move to see what they can get for him. He's got another 2 years left on his deal. Comes a free agent in 22.
He's a poor man's Jimmy Butler to me.
He's a nice player.
He's a great defensive player. He'll fit right into the
I don't
the
think
culture.
It'll cost you nearly as much as going after superstar. And obviously the contract is big, but it's nothing like what you'd have
That's
to get.
That's not Supermax type of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still, though, like I said, you got to watch. Now, I'll get into this now. The NBA, talk about voting. They're going to have a vote. The union, this is according to a report now in The Athletic. I do have other information, but I'll give credit where credit's due. The Athletic has this, so we'll go there. The union's going to vote Thursday or Friday about whether or not they're going to start December 22nd, which is what the owners want, or if they push, no, we're only going to do the MLK Day one and push it to there. And there's two scenarios with that. They're going to have this vote, but the feeling within the union among players that is starting to be the prevailing belief is that as much as they're resistant to the idea of starting early, the numbers and the money that has been put in front of them saying, hey, we stand to lose like $500 million to almost $1 billion if we don't start by December 22nd, if we don't play 72 games, if we don't do it this way, and it also impacts the Olympics. We could lose as much as $500 million to $1 billion. And that means for the players, 21 free agency, where you have a lot of big names. Yeah. Now, this free agency, only Anthony Davis is going to get paid, right?
Right.
But the 21 free agency, which is Giannis and a lot of other major players, like, you're talking about a large amount of money now that some of these big free agents could lose because the cap's coming down, revenues go down, teams now will be less inclined to want to go into the tax and pay double tax and triple tax, right?
Yeah.
Which is why I think if you're the Knicks, there could be opportunity here. Because you're going to have some teams that already are feeling the hit of not playing, not having fans. 40% of your revenue is your fans. And you're going to start a season where you could play half of a 72-game season with no fans in your building. You're losing money still. So you're going to have something where a summer comes and teams say, I'm not going to be able to pay this dude. I might as well get some assets for him while I can. So there's going to be some, like, whether it's the Suns, watch Devin Booker. I've said this a million times. Whether it's anyone else, whether it's Utah, who just went through an ownership change, and Donovan Mitchell, like, you got to watch these teams that have either a young guy on a huge contract or a young guy who's about to get a huge contract.
Yeah.
And that's where you got to be ready to pounce. So with that in mind, we'll know by Friday which way this is going to go. And the players, from what I'm hearing and also what's being reported in The Athletic, most of the players are starting to feel like resigned to the fact that we're probably going to have to start December 22nd. Christmas Day would be the big day. December 1st, training camp. So November, you have your draft, and right after it, you're going to have a shotgun wedding, free agency, off-season to start resetting your roster. Not a lot of time for Leon Rose, obviously.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Alan. Like, outside of six teams, who else is complaining? Nobody else has played basketball in over a damn year.
That's crazy. And what I'm hearing out of the membership, you're right. The vets on the Lakers grumbling, no one wants to hear it.
Nobody care about that.
Most of the players are like, you know, that's a shame. So LeBron can play on the 22nd. LeBron can play on Christmas Day. Then LeBron can say, there's no fans in the building. So if LeBron says, I'm not going to play when we play against, you know, whatever, Sacramento. Not playing that night. Yeah. Load management. You're not disappointing a young kid who showed up at the game and it's his only chance to see you play. There's no one in the building.
Right.
So you can have that, and I think the league's going to sell that to the players. Like, listen, I know we're busting chops about load management. We understand this year it might be a case where you wanted some rest early in the season. We'll allow it. So here's what I got. This is what I'm hearing from some sources. So like I told you, December 1st would be the training camps. You'd have a three-week training camp. You'd have about three preseason games, all regional. You wouldn't have to go too far, typical. 72-game season, they would limit the back-to-backs to like 14, all right? The travel reduction, though, would be about 25%. So you won't see a lot of cross-country stuff. I imagine you might see some crossover where East versus West, like Brooklyn's got to play Golden State, right? Like, don't you think you got to have that game? I think they would want that for TV. They would probably allow
a couple of days off between
Thursday night, right? All-Star break would be like a week, as it always is. It would be more closer to March, and they would build in some space in case they'd have to like move some games, just like the NFL would have to do if there was COVID. I've heard the second half of the season would be in a flex, meaning that it allows them, if we get fans in the building, then maybe we'll change up who plays whom, where, and all that stuff, and especially for TV. Here's the key, and this is for the Knicks, if you're a Knicks fan. They love the idea of the 7-10 play-in thing that they sort of used in the bubble.
Yeah.
They loved it so much, they'll probably include that. So if you're in 10th, you essentially can still play for the 7 and 8 seats, which keeps more markets engaged.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Exactly. Less of the tanking that would get involved. So you're looking at a late July NBA Finals, and still you'd have time, just enough time, to go to the Olympics. Now, if they had to wait till MLK, if they believe players will do this, that's a 60 game season because it's, again, they still have to get. They cannot let this thing melt all the way into the late summer because they now need to worry about the following season. The problem is this. Your finals wouldn't be till the end of August. That means no Olympics. That's why we're talking about billions.
Right. And you're in violation, too. You're in violation with your network partners. So now
I'm telling you right now, the network is a huge impact. Because
the networks are losing
ESPN and Turner.
They're like, what's up? Like, you owe us, man. We got ESPN has a $1 billion contract with the NBA. Like, hold up, bro. Nah, we need these games, Holmes.
The travel is the big part. That's what I think a lot of the older veterans are hoping. They don't want the back-to-back, so the league's going to do all they can to limit the back-to-backs.
Then we need to start early. If you don't want back-to-backs, we need to start early so we don't have to put games on top of each other.
And that's why most of the players, the general population of the union, is essentially resigned to the idea that we're going to have to do this December 22nd plan because it's overall better and the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. And the needs of the few, of course, is a guy like LeBron, even Anthony Davis. It's going to be guys like him. It's going to be Rondo and all those guys that don't want to. They want an offseason. They don't want their holiday season messed up. But now, after Thanksgiving, I get it right back to camp. Now Christmas, I'm not going to be home.
You're not a star. Rondo, you're not a star. We don't even take you into consideration.
Yeah, like, but he's on a team that's a star.
I don't even know what you're talking about, Shorty.
So that's, again, that's what I'm hearing is going on here. is so we'll know by the end of the week, because they got to know by the end of the week, because this is going to be quick. But this offseason, man, this is going to be a shotgun, an absolute shotgun wedding when it comes to offseason. If you have cap space and you're hoping to sign a free agent,
yeah,
man, you don't have time. You got to make your case. You're not going to be able to meet them face-to-face like you used to.
Yeah.
Now it's all going to be virtual probably. And they've got to make a quick decision. So I don't know if they're still going to do the moratorium where you can't immediately sign a player. Maybe they'll say, nope, if you sign them, you sign them right away. We don't have time for a moratorium.
Well, you know, if you're below that Mason-Dixon line, you know, you can actually go get a massage with him. You know what I'm saying? It's different rules down there. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, if you're in your state, apparently Jersey now, you can have a smoke and a pancake.
Yeah, yeah, man. Pancakes and get a happy ending.
You know what I'm saying? Well, that's, I wonder if that's the third thing. You got sports gambling in Jersey. Now you got marijuana is legal. What's next?
It's good for epilepsy. It's good for your body. You said good for epilepsy.
It's all about the anxiety, right?
It was skunk pop.
Anti-inflammatory. Stay off the weed, man. Not anymore, Stephen A. We do what we want, man.
It's amazing. All right, well, that's...
Do that hemp. We should do it. We need a new drop. Do that hemp.
I like that. Well, we get a sponsor now.
Yeah.
But still, I'm seeing this is how the NBA season is going to go. And it's going to be real quick. Like, we're going to blink an eye, and all of a sudden we're in preseason. Because December is literally, like, weeks away. And we're going to be in preseason. So we could be getting back to action pretty soon. That's what I know on the NBA front. Now, again, Knicks-wise, they're going to try to be in play with anyone that – any, like, talent, high-level talent, even if it's big contract. They're willing to take it on if they can get somebody that can be a difference maker immediately for their roster. They need players. They need people that can help make them competitive. They're trying to get there. Whether they can do it or not remains to be seen.
Well, Drew Holiday, like you said.
But they are going to be extremely active in trying to get players.
Well, Drew Holiday, if you take on that contract and they should be giving you more assets, then look, he's played well with Randle before, so there should be some synergy right there. You know, so they played together.
That's a good point. Yeah, he and Randle.
Yeah, so at least you got two teammates that like each other, that was successful with each other. And then maybe that can be the building block.
He's a good vet, too. Good vet, good guy.
And he's a defensive guy, you know what I mean? He's a guy that'll strap it up, and he's going to give you that intensity that you want as far as setting the tone for we play defense around here. I know Thibodeau's going to set it. But he's a guy that's talented, that can score. That's the reason why they gave him that money. And come here, you're not going to run him away by working him hard.
We do have some calls to get to. We have audio files to get to as well. So let's grab a call or two first, and we'll go from there. Let's see. How about we go to – let's go to David in Jersey. Go ahead, David.
What's going on, fellas?
How we doing?
I just want to sound off on JD on the Michael K. show yesterday. I agree with everything he said, and I like his accountability with the team and everything, but – you know, don't get mad at me, Solo, but I think we should move on from Darnold. The only reason why is his decision-making, and I understand that, yeah, he doesn't have the proper weapons to be successful, but I just think if we're cleaning house and going new with everything, I think we should bring in Trevor. This is my opinion.
I understand the argument for that, but you know, you can still do both at the same time. Still let Sam Darnold, pretty much like Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers was, you know, allow him to still be the starting quarterback. Don't rush, you know, Trevor Lawrence in too early. Let him kind of, you know, figure it out. Let Sam become an asset and see if you can get a second-round draft pick for a guy or maybe a first-round draft pick for him, and you can replace the draft pick that you used on Lawrence. Right, because if you give them to say a Jacksonville or a team that needs a quarterback and a team that, you know, would see him as their first round draft pick, you know, who knows? Maybe the freaking Saints will give you a first round draft pick, you know, for him, so they can have a smooth transition from Aaron Donald. From Drew Brees and you think Jameis Winston to be available too. So it's multiple. What it does is it gives you flexibility. You can trade the pick for a Herschel Walker type of deal where somebody gives you 2-3 first-round draft picks for the next 3 years, or in the case of Jacksonville, gives you 2 for this year and 2 for next year, or, you know, 2 or 4 total, and then you can really, you know, rebuild your team, or you hold on to them and you still have 2 first-round draft picks this year anyway. You still got enough draft
equity
your team this year.
As much as you say, well, you get as many picks as you can and assets and all that stuff, they already have 9 picks in the next 2 drafts in the top 3 rounds.
Yeah, but first round draft picks is crazy.
I hear you. But if I have 2 young quarterbacks, I do buy a little bit of time there, and maybe that's the way to go. I don't know. That's why they paid Joe the big bucks.
You see Stephon Gilmore, right? Like, mm-hmm. his going price is a first-round draft pick and a player. So if Sam Darnold shows that he can play,
he's a defensive player of the year. Like, he's a great player.
I know, but being able to get a franchise quarterback is harder than finding a lockdown corner. I can name you a bunch of lockdown corners. Actually, it's not a lot of guys that. But many
is there a lot of value? Is there a lot of trade value for Sam, or would they be at the end of the season? I guess it depends on how he finishes the year.
Well, I'm saying they keep him on the roster with Trevor Lawrence.
That's what
and
I just
let
said.
Him play. Yeah,
yeah.
And then,
no, that's
then
what I just
still,
said.
And you still can get that first round draft pick and a player for him.
Okay, all right. Maybe I misunderstood where you were going with that. All right, let's take John in Queens. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I just wanted to ask you, Alan, because there's a report that Ryan Russillo said that Devin Booker wants out of Phoenix. So I was just curious what you thought of that. Did you think, like, obviously it would start at R.J. Barrett, but is that someone we should be aiming for?
Yes.
Ryan Russillo. When did Ryan say this?
Well, I'm on the Real GM forums, and they reported that right after, let me see. According to Ryan Russillo, it's the worst kept secret in the NBA that Devin Booker already wants out of Phoenix on the Ringer podcast.
Oh, all right. So he said that to Bill Simmons. All right. First of all, if you listen to our show, I think I said that back in the spring.
We talk about the connection, right, with the agency. Yep.
Yeah. Booker, the thing with Devin Booker is that he wasn't an all-star by voting. He became an all-star because of an injury. And that, you know, for a guy like that who's averaging 28 points a game, and he's a legit star. Like, he's a legit star. I mean, he's somebody when you watch him play. This guy can ball.
No. Who's hit more game-winning shots than him?
And he's a guy that's just, he knows he's being overshadowed. He's out west where there's just, what's your chance to win? And like I said, he's a CAA guy. I've been hearing that he more and more is just like, I got to get out of here. Now, Phoenix has no motivation to move him. None.
Yeah,
no reason
Phoenix
to want to.
Chain. Bubble Phoenix is off the chain.
He's going to have to push his way out. Can he do it? Will he do it? That's the question. That is the question. And can it happen? I don't know. But you have to be the innocent bystander. There obviously is nothing you can do about it. You've just got to wait. So that's something to certainly keep an eye on. But it's nothing new. I'm not saying Ryan doesn't know something more. He might have heard something more recent. But that is, when he said it's one of the worst kept secrets, it is. And I think I revealed that months ago. All right, let's continue with the calls. But right now, some interesting stuff in audio files.
The audio file.
I'm not trying to hang on the rim or anything, Bart. Was that bad? Like, I was being a little like pretentious there. Like, I'm just saying that. Like, I mentioned that a while ago.
You've been
about
doing
Devin
that.
Booker.
Yeah, you know how it is. People recycle our takes. You know what I'm saying?
No. It's not that. No. Look,
no, hell
knows,
no. He recycle our takes. No, hell, he don't know him like you know him.
I like Ryan too much. All right, let's go. So Antonio Brown now becomes part of the weapons.
Oh, that's a problem.
In Tampa. Now, again, when you think about it, I said this yesterday, Tom Brady left New England because he's like, this is all crumbling, and I don't have any weapons, and it's going to make me look bad. In fact, it's making me look bad playing with these. I got to go somewhere where there's some people that can actually ball. And all they do is just keep adding people to this roster. Now it's Antonio Brown. Now, can Antonio Brown just stay in his lane and be a great receiver? That, of course, depends on him. But Bruce Arians has these expectations for AB.
Yeah, it really depends how the game goes. If we're successful with the package that we put him in, we'll probably run it more. He'll have his role, and it could be 10 plays. It could be 35 plays. I wouldn't anticipate 60 plays for sure, but, we'll just see how it goes.
That dude going to go 400. He going to go 400, especially if Godwin's back and they put him in the damn slot. Who the hell going to – your nickel going to cover Antonio Brown? Your third-best corner going to cover – I'm sorry, and your safety got to help over with Gronk. And he got to help over with
Godwin
because he's fat.
Who's the last guy to throw him a touchdown?
TB.
Yeah. So at least you already know there's a little bit of built-in chemistry, even though it was very short-lived. There is still a little bit of built-in chemistry there. It's certainly something to watch as Tampa, little by little, is starting to emerge as that team again. And, boy, it's amazing what Brady can do for a franchise. All right, next up, as we know, Trevor Lawrence missed last week's game against BC. He will miss this weekend's game against Notre Dame. And it's a very big game, but he's got COVID, and the rules say he's out. But it's interesting. He can't play yet, Dabo Swinney tells us, he can coach.
He's an incredibly knowledgeable guy, and you know he's been there. So I just think you know he'll be able to bring a good you know presence you know to DJ, and he's got a great mind. He's got great eyes. So he's going to be Coach Lawrence.
Wait. So he can.
If you're going to coach, you could damn play. You sit up here talking to other players' face. Like, get this man some chicken noodle soup and tell him go take his ass home and watch the game. Quit playing, man. Like, come on. Like, if he's all the great leader that he is and you say he is, then why then trust him to do the mature thing? This sounds like micromanaging. Make sure you keep an eye on the guy so you don't lose him. Like, stop it. That's stuff that coaches do. Like, oh, well, come in, guys, and just get a lift in because you don't trust him with all the free time. Man, let him go back to his
dorm. I thought he's supposed to be in quarantine, Bart.
That too, but they stormed Normandy apparently there. And they kicked COVID in the face.
I thought he was a
and COVID smacked them back.
I don't understand this. Meanwhile, in college football, another name to keep an eye on. This is interesting because this is being talked about more and more, and especially after losing to Michigan State, where people in Michigan are wondering, is Jim Harbaugh really the guy to go forward with that program? And Paul Feinbaum, who has always been pretty blunt about talking about Harbaugh and Michigan, was on Get Up. And this is what he said about what they should do in Big Blue with Harbaugh.
I think it's time for not to fire Jim Harbaugh. They're not going to do that because every time I say that, Jalen Rose pops out of the desk and tells me how wrong I am. But the point is, they just need an amicable divorce. He has another year on his contract after this. It's not going to get any better. So do it. Let's sit down, work it out, and let Jim Harbaugh look for a job in the NFL. I don't know if he can get one. He may. It's a different league than it was when he was at the 49ers. But I think he's better off somewhere other than Michigan. And quite frankly, I think Michigan fans are starting to agree.
What do you think, Bart? You're a Michigan guy.
Yeah, man.
Not a Michigan man, of course, but you are from Michigan.
Yeah, well, I was supposed to be a Michigan State man, but that's a whole other story for another day. But, you know, absolutely, man. I think it's time. Like, we're worried about him being able to close the gap on Ohio State. He can't beat Michigan State. He can't beat anybody. And he's not exceeded expectations. Like, we expected Harbaugh to come in, and he hasn't even got them to the playoffs yet. Like, what are you talking about? We paying you $9 million. We paying you.
Well, he hasn't beaten any of the rivals. That's the bigger issue. He beats up on all the weak teams, but he never beats the rivals.
And then, you lose into Michigan State. That's almost a big enough of a no-no as losing to Ohio State because that's in-state rivalry. You're competing for the same.
Did Rutgers beat Michigan State?
Huh?
Did Rutgers?
Yeah, Rutgers beat Michigan State week one, and then they go and beat Michigan.
Oh, Lord.
They mess around and lose them. Rutgers, they're going to burn his Harbaugh, khaki pants.
If they do this, because remember, Harbaugh's got, what has he got, 1 year left in his deal?
Only 1 year left. Only
right,
1 year left.
That's just so rare for a college coach to sit there. It's almost lame duck status. If this happens, if they end up saying, all right, let's have the amicable divorce, as Feinbaum said, how fast, like, does he become the prime NFL head coaching candidate? Does he become the guy that Houston, Atlanta, Jets would want?
Nope, Eric Bieniemy. I think it's a new guy. I think we kind of all know who Harbaugh is and what comes with Harbaugh in your building. And not every organization is built to handle that type of personality. And a guy that's going to want to demand the respect, and he hasn't done it at a collegiate level. It's different when he went to college because he had did it at the pro level. He went to college. That's supposed to be a step down. We see that as well with Lovie Smith. Lovie Smith is horrible as a college coach. U of I has not won anything. He's been down there forever. Herm Edwards, okay. Like, so the notion that, oh, well, these pro guys go to college and they're going to dominate, nah. It's not the case. They're getting ran around circles by some of these young guys. So you want to pass by some of these young guys, you know, for him? No, I still like some of the guys that haven't had that chance because we know what those guys look like as professional coaches. So, I mean, I still like Eric Bieniemy, somebody who's been successful at that level recently. Sala, the defense coordinator for San Francisco, you know, the offense coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. I'd much rather go that way because these guys come in and they do it my way. I know what I'm doing. I want all the power, and they don't know how to play well with others in the sandbox.
And your guy in Stanford, too.
Yeah, David Shaw. But David Shaw is a guy who I think can play well in the sandbox.
Because he's got the experience of it.
let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
Hey, Bar, you ready for some action?
Yeah.
I love this song, by the way. I think it's time for some action. Little Lunch Money for you. Mac football. Yeah, we're going to do it. I mean, why not? Wednesday night football. And we got it all over ESPN. And I'm looking at some of these as the Mac now gets into some action here. So I'm going, look, I've got two games that interest me. The first one is tonight, 7 o'clock, ESPN2, Buffalo, Northern Illinois. Buffalo is laying 13. I'll take those. I'll give those points because Jared Patterson is a running back that you need to watch.
Ooh.
NFL potential.
Buffalo?
Yeah. Insane offense.
The home of Khalil Mack?
Northern Illinois, there's zero chance that their defense is good enough to stop.
But you got to look at the QB, baby, because we stacked that box. What he got for us, baby?
But we'll see. All right, so I got Buffalo. I'm laying a 13. And the other game, this one's at 6 o'clock, and if you got the on ESPN, the .com, the ESPN tray.
Ah.
All right, Western Michigan and Akron. The are they the Zips, right? The Akron Zips. Akron is horrific. Really bad. Western Michigan is favored by 20. I'll take the 20. All right. I'm sorry. I'll give the 20. Whatever you want to put it. Western Michigan 20. This is why it's on ESPN 3. Okay. This is why it's 6 o'clock ESPN 3.
Hey, not to be confused with Central Michigan.
No. Or Eastern Michigan as well. They play Kent State. Kent's favored by 4. Kent's laying 4. I'm not going to touch that.
Ah, that's right. Home of Antonio Gates and Silverback.
No, you get a lot of NFL out of the MAC.
Yeah, and Silverback. That's where James Harrison comes from.
Yeah. So we're going to play those and let's see what happens. Let's see if we do well. I'll tell you what. If we do well with the MACtion tonight, next week we make it a thing.
Oh,
Wednesday night, little MACtion. I think it'll be fun.
Time for some action.
Yeah.
We need to bring that one in it too.
We should. And it is our opening song. It also makes me now want to watch. And I need that. I need something to watch. I need a reason to watch. You don't need a reason, though, to listen to the Michael Kay Show. You just do. And they right now have a 20 and 20 contest that continues today. And their show begins, of course, at 3 o'clock. So be listening for your chance to win 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little more enjoyable. Today, Bart... Oh, man. One of my favorite things that I have in the house. The guys are giving away a Sonos Move Portable Wi-Fi speaker.
Oh, nice.
I got Sonos every room, like all over the place. I love it. Like when there's no one home,
yeah.
I just tell Alexa, play, and I'll do a playlist on my XM stations.
Play Return
everywhere,
of the Mac.
Everywhere. Sometimes I say, play 98.7 ESPN New York everywhere. And the whole house is just flooded with our station. So I'll do that. So a Wi-Fi speaker. So a Sonos Wi-Fi speaker. These are amazing. So the 2020 contest is brought to you by PC Richard & Son. Well done. Kansas City Steak, Bartesian Premiums, Cocktails on Demand, and 98.7 ESPN. So we took care of Lunch Money. We took care of the Kay Show. And now we've got about 5 minutes that we can take care of our listeners who are on hold right now waiting to talk to you. So 800-919-3776. Jim in Long Island. Go, Jim.
Hey, how you guys doing? Great show.
Thank you.
First, I want to say that Sam Darnold and Joe Douglas are stand-up men. They have taken accountability for this 0-8, whereas Adam Gase has run from it, and he has basically said put it all on the players. Second of all, when Joe Douglas was on the Michael Kay Show yesterday, Joe Douglas could not say, I don't know what everybody wanted him to say for Adam Gase, because the owner was on the show previously saying that Adam Gase was a genius, so he couldn't undermine the owner.
That's a great point.
Now the third thing, hopefully the
It'd be
owner
great if Joe Douglas was like, whoever called him a genius doesn't know what they're talking about.
Right? But then
yeah, now you'd be looking for a GM and a coach.
But yeah, exactly. He could be a genius. He's gonna get y'all to pay him $25 million to sit home on the beach and watch football on TV.
You gotta admit that is a pretty smart play.
And then the owner, hopefully the owner has accountability and say that he made a mistake and replace Gase. And well, Bart, I agree.
He can blame it on his brother. He can say that. Woody can say, I'm back, everybody. Yeah, I let my little dumb brother do it. I'm back.
And Bart, I agree with you as far. I agree with you as far as trading the number one pick, and get more assets. If you draft Trevor Lawrence, you're gonna have the same problem. He's gonna have no offensive line, no weapons. You're gonna have the same issue. And I don't think any quarterback can do anything with this offense as constructed right now. With the, you know, every time Sam Donald drops that back foot, the defense is in his lap. Who can play with that?
Did you listen to Allen, right, about what's going on in the NBA? The same thing is happening in the NFL as well. The salary cap's going to come down because it's not been enough revenue because there's no fans. The TV revenue is down a little bit. It's hard to sell, like, commercials. So it's going to be guys who have money, the haves and have-nots. So it's going to be good teams that's going to have to let good players go because they can't afford to keep them. So like I said, Zach Ertz, Tooney, you talk about Bill Belichick saying, hey, we just don't have the money to be competitive. Well, one of your biggest high-priced tickets is your right guard. What would Sam Darnold need? A great right guard. Pair that with a right tackle, then you in business. You can hide one or two players on the offensive line, but now you have caliber players because of Becton being so young and so dominant, he's still cheap. So having Becton is like having a quarterback that you have a quarterback on his rookie deal that you don't have to pay for another 5 years, because we look at Ronnie Stanley just got $100 million as well. So now you got $100 million left tackle that you don't have to give $100 million for 5 years. So, like, you can go out and spend and go get Tooney, who's already ready to be paid. Go out and get Zach Ertz and then go out and get a right tackle. So, listen, don't think this rebuild, when Joe Douglas is telling you, hey, that this is going to take a while. It can take a season and they can be competitive next year. We saw it happen with Miami and what they spent in the offseason, but Miami had the same amount of draft picks that the Jets have in the next couple of years because they traded all their picks away, and they had the same amount of money. So if Miami can be competitive, one game back from first place in this division, why can't the Jets do that next year?
We'll see. All right, before we go, let's take Spike in New Jersey. Hey, Spike.
Let's get to it. Good program. Three quick things. Mike Abendor. Remember him, Bart?
No, Mike Abendor?
Yeah, Detroit Pistons trainer, wore a sweater on the bench.
Man, Mike Abendor, man. Not
Abendor. Yeah,
man. With the big mustache, look like a Mario brother.
Yeah, 30 years.
Abendor. I'm like, who?
He looked like Luigi.
He looked like Luigi.
Yeah, good dude. And Alan, by the way, I've been listening to some old stuff of yours. Your Yubi impression, which is great, is really close to your Howard Cosell impression. And if you put the two side by side, you gotta cut that up and listen carefully. Put it on your Sonos one time.
It's very similar, like cadence, where you just sort of say, okay,
you
what you love, okay,
you
first with Bart first,
okay,
the
listen,
defense.
Listen, Drew Holiday, he's about a 35% 3-point shooter, terrific D guy, probably has 3-4 more years left in the prime. There are more Holidays in the NBA than there are in Switzerland.
I know that family, they did well, huh?
Yeah, they did well. The little guy's good too. He got a good handle. I would take him, and man, I just can't wait. I am, and this is not a reflection or casting aspersions on anybody. You know me too well, too long. I'm so sick of hearing the Jets negative talk. I'm a full-time listener. I'm a regular caller. It's gotten to the point that I watched the lineman from the
film. We got to run, Spike. I'm sorry. We got to run. It's always a long call. He wouldn't let me do my impression.
Yeah, and talked I love him. I love the cadence.
We'll have to do it. We'll have to do it tomorrow.
Say goodbye, and you'll be voice.
I can't. Yeah, I'm under pressure. I can't do it. I'm just going to say, Bart, great job. I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.